We turn now to a story about America's workers. This year, there was a fundamental shift in the balance of power between employers and the millions of people who work for them. NPR's Andrea Hsu has a look at how we got here.
Remember at the start of the pandemic when we were all talking about the people who kept showing up to work at grocery stores and restaurant kitchens? We called them essential workers, heroes. Well, in 2021, many of them said enough.
I realized that, like, it's not cool to be living paycheck to paycheck.
Working 50, 60 hours a week for what they're paying, just it isn't worth it anymore.
I was sitting in the parking lot. And I just decided I can't walk in there. I just cannot do it.
That was Mary Waters, who stocked freezers at a grocery store, along with restaurant workers Jeremy Gombieski and Lamar Cornett. They're just a few of the millions of people who walked away from jobs this year. More than 4 million a month since July, with low-paid workers in restaurants, hotels, and retail leading the way.
We're still in a pandemic. There's still a lot of risk. A lot of the hazard pay that was given to these workers has ended. But the conditions haven't changed.
Enrique Lopez Lira directs the low-wage work program at the UC Berkeley Labor Center. Too many jobs in America, he says, are still not good jobs, especially amid a highly contagious virus.
So these workers still have to, you know, be in close proximity with customers and other workers. A lot of these jobs still don't have health insurance or paid leave.
And a lot of workers have said, I'm not okay with that. So with workers leaving in droves, one thing has changed. Employers are paying more. Wages this year rose faster than they have in decades. Latoya Beatty, who owns Little Pandas Learn and Play in Martinsburg, West Virginia, knew she had to do something after months of struggling to hire daycare teachers.
I've had people scheduling an interview with me and don't show up for the interview. I've had people come in for an interview and didn't show up for the job.
So over the summer, Beatty raised her starting pay from $10 an hour to $12. She still didn't get a flood of applicants. Now, daycares operate on very thin margins, and Beatty has stiff competition for workers from large corporations like Amazon that are paying upwards of $15 an hour.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Remember the fight for 15? Well, $15 an hour is now the de facto minimum wage in some parts of the country. Inflation has erased those wage gains for a lot of workers, but the lopsided labor market, with employers desperate to hire and workers not so desperate for jobs, has disrupted the balance of power between workers and their bosses. Here's Berkeley's Enrique Lopez Lira again.
We are seeing that workers are exercising their voices more.
Especially those who are organized.
Publicly, we're seeing the largest support for workers and for unions since the 60s.
It's helped to have a labor-friendly administration in the White House and a union man heading the Labor Department.
When you have it in your blood, you have it in your blood.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, former Boston labor leader, paying a visit to striking Kellogg workers outside a cereal factory in Pennsylvania. This year, we saw workers in manufacturing, healthcare, and other industries demand a bigger piece of the pie, especially, they say, after what they've been through over the past year and a half, working tirelessly through the pandemic. But even as workers have made gains, companies still hold a lot of power. The Kellogg strike ended a couple weeks after the cereal maker said it was going to hire permanent replacements. And it's important to remember that only 1 in 9 workers in the U.S. is part of a union, way down from decades past. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.